Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yeah. Let me start by thanking Vivian for being able to come and visit us today.
I'll take off my mask too. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll stay 1 meter.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
I just want to inform you that we had a very good, frank, candid discussion, bilateral today. It's a lot easier when you are discussing with a friend, and an old friend. And I feel that even in a situation that we are facing right now, post-COVID or present COVID, there are always opportunities. And when we are faced with challenges, if you have friends that can see eye to eye and on navigating the way forward, we feel that there are a lot of things that Malaysia and Singapore can do looking forward. So just a bit of a taste of what we discussed today, this exchange of visits of our leadership, both prime ministers, secondly on travel lanes and arrangements, post-COVID vaccination rollout, certification, moving forward, how it affects the global situation, regional issues, interests. So I leave it to Vivian to maybe share with you what was discussed, and I will wrap up immediately after him, okay? So over to you.
Thanks. Thank you, Hisham. Hisham is an old friend. We've known each other 20 years.
Yep.
And we've been through, I think, both at a personal and political level, a very long journey,
yeah,
with all kinds of challenges. The last 1 year has been a very challenging year for both Singapore and Malaysia. The first thing I want to say is that actually the two of us have been brothers and friends in need. I don't just mean personally, but the two countries, Malaysia and Singapore. And let me give you some evidence for that statement. If you think, cast your mind back a year ago when people, Malaysians, Singaporeans, stranded all over the world. We helped each other, tumpang transport, to bring Singaporeans, Malaysians home. Clear example. When we had to have our circuit breaker and the MCO, the conditional, what do you call it, movement control order. In Malaysia a year ago. Suddenly there was a scramble, you know, where people were working, where people were living,
right,
in Johor, in Singapore. And literally overnight, arrangements had to be made. Where they were going to be housed, where they're going to be looked after, how they're going to move across. And we did that. And we were in constant touch throughout. And another example. Throughout the depths of this crisis, our supply lines never shut down. Whether it's flow of vegetables, essential goods, medication, even more recently, even the supply chains for the vaccines have also flowed across the causeway or from Changi to KLIA. Again, proof that things have continued to function effectively. So I hope you can see that this proves the vital nature of our relationship and why we must never take it for granted, and we must continue to invest in it, to grow it, and to make sure we produce and deliver the services which our people, Singaporeans and Malaysians, have every right to demand. I've come today to see my old friend and also to convey an invitation from my Prime Minister, Lee, to Prime Minister Muhyiddin to come and visit Singapore, which we hope to announce soon, in the near future. I think the two Prime Ministers, although they did sort of get to meet each other face-to-face at the causeway with the boundary line in between, we would like to invite Prime Minister Muhyiddin to pay his an official visit to Singapore and to have a deeper substantive conversation with my Prime Minister. So that's the first thing which we need to deliver. The second area where we've spent a lot of time discussing and which we will continue to work on is in the post-COVID recovery phase. And in particular now, as the COVID situation, both in Singapore and in Malaysia, is stabilizing, and as both of us roll out our vaccination programs, we have to think through carefully how do we safely reopen the economy, the borders, and travel between Singapore and Malaysia. I think you will know that last year we had already negotiated both the reciprocal green lane and the PCA, periodic commuting arrangement. You see, we can complete each other's words. Although the reciprocal green lane is currently suspended, we're going to review it and we will look at the arrangements which we may be able to implement from May onwards. Yep. We are also looking, specifically now that we're rolling out the vaccination program, for mutual recognition of the certifications as well as the tests, both the serology and the PCR tests, so that we can rely on each other's certification. And all this is with a view to facilitating cross-border flows, especially of people who've been vaccinated, tested, and who can travel safely. So there's a lot of staff work that needs to be done. But watch this space. I hope by the time our two prime ministers meet, we can make some significant announcements, which will allow those of us with family members on both sides of the causeway to meet again, which will allow businesses to resume, which will allow, hopefully, tourism, safe tourism, in due time. And we can look forward to a more busy causeway and airport. You know, today, when I left Changi, it was empty, and I arrived at KLIA. It's not the KLIA that I used to visit. We need to get past this. So we have a lot of work in this post-COVID recovery phase. And I think Malaysia and Singapore should be the first ones in the world to show what a really effective partnership based on trust, on openness, and mutual support can demonstrate. So that's what we look forward to. I think the other area, perhaps not so happy, that we discussed is the situation in Myanmar. I think, and here I take the risk of speaking for both of us, both Malaysia and Singapore are gravely concerned with the situation there. It's a humanitarian disaster. In fact, it aggravates an already existing humanitarian disaster. We believe that violence against unarmed civilians is inexcusable. We hope they will exercise restraint. We hope reconciliation, national conversation, and dialogue between all the parties, the stakeholders in Myanmar, will come about. We still believe that there should be no external interference in the domestic affairs of a country. But to the maximum extent possible, as members of ASEAN, we stand ready to do our best to support the people of Myanmar, who in fact deserve so much better in the future. So all in all, we've had a very good, productive set of discussions, and we hope to be able to announce more good news in the months to come.
Great. I just want to say that nothing can replace a physical face-to-face meeting. I've had so many virtual meetings with Vivian and our other colleagues in ASEAN.
And he's on WhatsApp all the time.
I'm on WhatsApp with him and on the phone call with him every other day since Myanmar is every other hour. But meeting like this really reinforces something which we already have built for so long. And it's so easy to be able to discuss even sensitive and disputed issues if you are talking to a friend, someone that is willing to listen and willing to navigate it together. And this is what I have with regards to my relationship with Vivian and Malaysia and Singapore. So, based from your visit today, my friend, I think we have a lot of work to do.
Yes.
But I'm confident that based on the foundations that we have built, there is a great future with regards to the bilateral relations between Malaysia and Singapore. He's got many more appointments today. Maybe we'll take a few questions quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Vivian will be speaking to YBKJ later today. On the policy side, we've come to some understanding. But on the operational side, we need to coordinate all the stakeholders, whether it is the ministries on our part. It's not just MOSTI, but it's the health ministry. We need to speak to the state government with regards to Johor, Singapore travel. So all this needs to be coordinated. But I'm happy to report that as far as the two foreign ministers are concerned, we have come to some agreement on moving positively forward.
Thank you. Well, I think you know that Malaysia and Singapore are inseparable. I gave you examples just now. And of course, for us in Singapore, the state of Johor is our immediate neighbor. And it is truly an interdependent relationship. So I see the simultaneous rollout of vaccination in both Malaysia and Singapore as presenting us with an opportunity, hopefully in the near future, as the health situation stabilizes and hopefully equalizes. Mm. That makes it easier to re-establish the interconnections, the travel, which I think our people really want. I suppose I should say there's one additional agreement we forgot to mention. This was the agreement for compassionate travel.
Right.
You know, there are people on both sides of the border, relatives, parents, grandparents. Sometimes a person is critically ill. They need to visit urgently. So I'm glad that our two sides have arrived at an in-principle agreement, and we hope to be able to operationalize this next month in April. Well, first of all, currently the PCA, the periodic commuting arrangement, is in effect. And I think right now every day there's probably a couple of hundred of people flowing across the border. So I'm saying that that's actually continuing. But what I'm looking forward to as the epidemic situation in Johor stabilizes and improves, as vaccination rolls out, I would expect to see that number increase accordingly. But as Foreign Minister Hishamuddin has mentioned, this is something which involves multiple ministries on both sides. The Health Ministry, Ministry of Transport, Ministry of Trade and Industry. I see the role of MFA and of WISMA as facilitators to bring people onto the table, to achieve common understanding, and then to work out the detailed protocols and processes. But the clear message to our people, both in Singapore and Malaysia, is that as the situation improves, we can look forward to brighter times. We can look forward to getting together again, enjoying each other's company and each other's food.
I just want to add, the earlier arrangements which Vivian and I worked on, whether it's the reciprocal green lane or the periodic movement, now we're adding the compassionate movement of citizens. The added value that we can put into the formula is the vaccination rollout.
Yes.
We are now discussing how that could facilitate what we already have and allow the travel and build on what has been announced and is operational at the moment. So the vaccination rollout from in both countries, I think has added value and made our life slightly easier in getting and coordinating all the different ministries and agencies within our countries and getting the two countries to find an understanding moving forward.
And I would add, it's not just vaccination alone, but also sharing data on test results. I mean, the two of us, you know, for us to travel, you need to show vaccination records, your test records, maybe sometimes your serology records.
I know.
But getting those records recognized and to be able to share the information securely and transparently and reliably makes a difference. Otherwise, the two of us can't even travel. So, in a sense, you know, the same systems that we are generating here must apply to everyone.
You guys just don't know how hard it is to get Vivian to come to KL.
Well, I've been swapped every day, and you have had multiple swaps per day sometimes.
On the hourly basis.
So we're all veterans of tests.
Okay, guys, any more? A quick one?
Yes. Well, we were just discussing just now. If you're thinking in terms of deadline, I think by the time our two prime ministers meet, we should be in a position to make some announcements. For now, I'm here. Later on, I will be seeing Minister Khairi Jamaluddin, so we will go through more operational details. I think, as I said, the overall structure is that vaccination programs are running out, are being implemented, rolled out in both Singapore and Malaysia right now. Actually, some of the vaccines we are using are identical. The tests and the test regimes are very similar. And just making sure that there's an adequate exchange of reliable information, in particular between our two ministries of health, would be helpful. And that will help build confidence, which in turn can be used to safely open our borders and to allow travel again. I think the point to emphasize is we have to be guided by public health. That's still the paramount overriding concern. Having said that, by having a more transparent and interoperable system, we can protect public health and safely reopen the economy and safely enable traveling. So there's still a lot more work that needs to be done. We'll work through all the details, and hopefully our prime ministers will be able to make some announcements in the near future.
I agree. Okay.
It won't be everything okay. That easy.
Thank you. Have the last word.
We're
going to discuss it in about an hour's time.
Let me go and see the Prime Minister. We're going to try to get some details operationalized next month.
Next month?
Yes. April, right? Next month is April. Yes.
I just don't even know what month it is.